Welcome to the Rob and Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
Well, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Big, hairy American winning machine.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast. I just wanna be.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I come to you tonight from the Clemson Kick the Shit Out of South Carolina for Six Straight Years studio. We also are your reigning defending national champions. I have a co-host. He supports a 4-8 loser team along with a 4-8 loser coach, and he's looking forward to next season where they might go 4-8 as well. He is the Comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
Good evening. It's great to be a Gamecock. I will stick by that. I posted that earlier today, and people got mad. Clemson fans got mad at that. I don't know why. You're so easily triggered. Anyway,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Tough day yesterday, but I kind of knew that was coming when we found out half our team was going to play. That's not an excuse. We would have lost anyway, but you know.
What's up, guys, on
whatever
Facebook,
it is,
Twitter Live tonight?
Now it's on to picking our new coaches, because apparently Will Muschamp is cleaning house. And we get to follow that nightmare.
We're going to get into that momentarily, but I wanted to welcome you into the show. By the way, tonight as we're recording this, we're watching what Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans. They're beating New England right now, 21-9. I'm giving an update here, buddy. Calm down.
I know. Well, I'm going to say what's pretty cool is that earlier, if you're watching the game, they did a little highlight on Nuke Hopkins and Stephon Gilmore. Kind of the head-to-head, and talked about how they battled in college. Of course, you know, Gilmore never lost to Clemson in college, but it was pretty cool to highlight the rivalry right there. I'm glad we kind of bring that to the table on Sunday Night Football. You know, we kind of make you guys relevant.
Oh, please. You've got two All-Pros for Houston.
The Houston Texans are owned by who? Who are they owned by, Rob?
I don't know who they're owned by.
They're owned by a Gamecock. I don't know. That's what we do.
All right, well, anyway.
Graduates own NFL teams.
Okay, well, that's fine.
That's what we do.
I'm sure they would give all of that up if they could get within three touchdowns of Dabo Sweeney right now, but they can't. So, yeah, do you want to respond to that?
36 points to blow out 35 is not.
Are you really that dumb?
I'm going by that's the barrier.
That's not
if
the
If you
barrier.
Can beat your rival by 36 points or more, like the ladies did to your ladies' basketball team, that's a
you're
blowout.
You're so stupid. We're not talking hoops tonight,
35 or less
buddy.
Is kind of like it's a toss-up.
We're not talking
flip.
Hoops tonight. Yeah, I'm showing people my hair. Lewis Boland cut my hair for me.
Yeah.
Had a Boland and Associates haircut, so there you go with that.
That was the highlight of the night. I remember that part of the night.
All right, anyway, let's get into we need to thank our sponsors, First Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. They, of course, hosted our wonderful live show was a Friday. It feels like it was a year ago. But, yeah, it was a great, great show. The Comrade did the spirit, the Truth Serum segment up there, and it was by far his best reading ever. You can find it online somewhere. I'm not going
to
tell you where it is.
It was hard to read, by the way.
It doesn't matter. It was great. It was absolutely great. It was everything that was. It was everything that was truthful, including some of the following statements: DeAndre McDaniel is a better boyfriend than Will Muschamp as a head coach.
I know. Dennis wrote that because you're not smart. You're not clever enough to write that.
I
can tell what you write. You didn't write that.
I wrote that.
That's a Dennis Wilson line. It has to be.
No, I
could not come up with that line.
Come up with that line.
Give credit where credit is due.
I give Dennis credit for what he wrote, but I wrote that. That was my line. So there's that.
Dennis, is that true?
Of course it's
Dennis
true.
Wilson, confirmed.
It's completely true. Anyway, but what were some of the other lines in there? That you know all about the Muschamp penis. That's another line. Yeah, all kinds of good stuff there.
I forgot some of what I wrote because I was not.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great stuff. Great stuff there at the live show. So thank Callaway's Bar and Grill for that. They are on Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia. You can go by and have some great food and, you know, play some retro video games. And, you know, Cheddar Bob actually played for the Gamecocks. Once his career ended in 1991, he's never went back to that shithole, but he still does support the Gamecock football team. You also have Billy Muse, who played for William and Mary, where they went over to Japan and the Emperor died. and they still beat the shit out of the Japanese team in Japan, which is kind of a great story there. The whole country's in mourning, and Billy's team's out there. He said he played like four snaps and had three sacks or some ridiculous stat like that. It was crazy. But shout out to the folks from Callaway's. We appreciate them for sponsoring the show. Great food, great people, great memories at Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Also, we'd like to thank our patrons of the show. They include Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the Czar of Clemson Sports. I will be going to the ACC Championship game next Saturday.
Woo-hoo.
And I'll be going. Lawton and I are going to go up there and ride Woo. Together so that we can
big game.
Save on parking. Yeah, well, your team doesn't get to play.
Big so. One.
By the way, Dennis Wilson Rating from DNC Trucking and Transport, he is a big time sponsor of the show, loves the show. And I've confirmed this with him that Dennis Wilson and Betty Wilson are such giving people to Gamecock fans that they've agreed to pay for Gamecock Bowl tickets. So whenever they announce that Gamecock Bowl site, you send your ticket voucher to Dennis Wilson and they will pay for it.
By the way, I met Dennis Wilson's
mom. So there's
go.
Met his mom, yeah.
And right. She loves me. She wants to adopt me. She told me that.
She does not want to adopt you. But anyway,
she said
let's
that I was a nice young man and she wishes that I was.
She does not.
Her son.
She never said that.
That's what she said.
She did not say that to you. Our patrons are Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, Thomas Dana Young, Stacey Marie Hamp, Keith Harrelson, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, Lisa Sister-Harkin. She came to the live show. Appreciate her. Jeff Pritchett, Christian Young, and Nathan Medlin. We appreciate you guys coming out to the show. It was a great, great event. But we also have the Spirit of Truth segment here with the Comrade. This one's not going to be nearly as good as what Comrade read on Friday night. But this is still very good. And, of course, this is from DNC Trucking and Transport, who is buying bowl tickets for Gamecock fans. If you're going to a bowl game for this season, get your bowl tickets out there. Let Dennis Wilson know. He will pay for your bowl ticket. It's all right there. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson has won six straight against my piss-poor team. I think Will Muschamp is a great coach. Clemson has beaten him by the following scores. 56-7. 34-10, 56-35, and 38-3. Missouri fired Barry Odom after four seasons. He plays in the SC East and had essentially the same record that Muschamp does. Missouri obviously cares more about football than South Carolina does. I apologize to Jellyfish. He got 13 correct picks this week. I will most likely
stop. That's not what it says. It's
I'm
Matt
sorry,
Tomlinson.
Jellyfish.
It's
Please
Matt
forgive
Tomlinson.
My football stupidity. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
You need to be nice to Matt Tomlinson because you claimed he would never finish ahead of you.
Listen, I'm going to say right now. This is my issue, okay?
Did you think on any planet Matt Tomlinson would get 13 picks right? No.
No. Well, first of all, here's a couple things.
Hold on just a minute. That is a Robin Comrade Show record.
It is.
One has ever gotten 13 picks right in a Pick'em Challenge.
The
Matt Tomlinson
is, though,
beat it, you senseless.
He did. He did. And listen, and I would give him credit, except he made excuses when he got off to a bad start. You can't make excuses. You just can't do it.
Well,
In reality, here's the thing. He did two things, okay? He's done two things which would be he could brag about if he didn't backtrack. The first thing was he picked his prediction originally was 4-8. And we made fun of him for 2 weeks straight. And then he went and turned and said, I didn't mean that as a prediction. I don't have my reading comprehension skills. I said 6-6, not 4-8.
Yeah.
And now he wants to claim that was his prediction. So he couldn't stick by his original prediction. And then in the contest, it was early in the thing. First of all, I tried to get him in the contest originally because he wouldn't get in. And so I had to kind of talk, you know, trash get him in and, you know, make fun of him and a few other people. And instead of saying, don't worry, I'll be back, don't worry, he made the excuse about his booming business and his newborn just not having enough time. And so now suddenly he's acting as if the contest is important. So he's gonna have a little more backbone. You can't make excuses.
He got 13 correct.
He did, which is impressive.
That is a Robin Comrade Show record.
Which begs the question, if he was good enough, because according to him, The reason why he struggled was because of his business and his kid. If he's doing well now, does that mean he's ignoring his kid? Is that what that means?
No, that's not.
Does
what
that mean we have to call social services?
Oh, that you're going over the line.
I mean, is that what that means?
That's bullshit, dude. We don't do that.
Well, I mean, is that what that means? I'm just using this.
Hold on, dude. We don't bring children into the show. That's stupid, dude.
Mike, I'm
giving you a lifeline. We are going to move on. Do you understand? We're moving on.
I'm just concerned.
Okay. We will not talk about other people's children and DSS services and shit during the show.
I just want to make sure.
We will not do it.
We're not going to do it.
Mike, we're not going to do it. Shut up about it, man. That's bullshit, dude. We don't do that. We can run our mouths about each other and call each other fat and buck tooth and everything else. We're not going to bring kids into it. It's bullshit. Don't do that.
Dennis Wilson, I do remember that. Yes. You have two spots in the Bull Pick'em Challenge. Apparently, John Holmes and Dennis Wilson will both be in the Bull Pick'em Challenge.
By the way, I'm really pissed off at John T. Holmes because we booked him for the live show and he did not show up. So I'm kind of upset about that.
Yeah, I think family things came up.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on. We'll update the standings through week 14 of the Robin Comrade Pick'em Challenge. I had an absolutely horrendous week. How many games did we have, Mike?
We had 15. We both got four right. Remember, all our picks were the same?
That's what I'm saying. I should have been like, why are my picks the same as this idiot? I should have changed them on the spot.
Here's in full disclosure. So, Gary Mills. Thrills Mills.
Good point, Dennis.
One of our things that Gary does before all our live shows, he gives us a shot of tequila and Jägermeister. And I don't really drink anymore. And so the talent's a little bit low. And right after that, I could not get my computer to turn on. I think it was on. I couldn't tell if it was on.
It was on, but you didn't. It was plugged up, but you didn't press the power button. Because when you came over and pressed the power button, it turned on. That's how drunk the comrade was.
I forgot who it was. Someone came up to my computer and said, this information right here is worth a lot of money. But then I forgot who, on Saturday morning.
Yeah, you don't. Hold on. That's not what you said. You said, this information is worth a lot of money. I could sell it for $1 million at comrade.com.
I forgot. I'm not sure who I was talking to either.
Comrade.com doesn't exist, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So we get the picks, and I have no idea what I picked on the show. And so Saturday comes, I go, oh, crap, I never submitted my picks. And I was trying to remember what I actually said in the show and what my spreadsheet said, which I couldn't get to my phone. So I was texting you going, did I pick Ohio State or Michigan? I think I picked Ohio State, but I think I'm going to pick Michigan now. And so I was actually kind of glad in a way I did bad. Not glad. I want to do well. But I was worried if I did really well, like went 13 out of 15, that people were going to say.
Stop the press for a second. DeAndre Hopkins just stiff-armed Stephon Gilmore into the ground.
He said, get off my nuts, you fucking bitch.
That's what he just told him. Get off my nuts, bitch. Watch this play. Fuck you! Get on the ground. That's what he just did to him. But anyway, go ahead.
That was pretty shitty. So I was worried that if I did really well, that people were going to say, your picks weren't the same as the ones you did in the show. So I was like, but luckily I got four right, so no one's worried about this.
Well, anyway, I got four correct, and luckily I'm still at number one, which
you're
means
tied.
not very many people are doing
Sally
very
Bill
well.
Down again is like came up
Sally
from the ashes.
Killed it. The past 2 weeks she's gotten 4 and 10 correct. So Sally's on fire.
And all the people who've been going NP for the last 3 weeks, okay, because they thought it was over, should be ashamed of themselves, because we told you before, we have these big weekends coming up. The 15-pick week, we have the 9-pick week, this one. You can get back in it real quick. And Sally Bell Donegan was down there pretty low, and she could easily have given up, not made any picks for a few weeks, and mailed it in. But here she is now, tied for the lead and a chance at the big money with 9 picks left in the season. So that's
anyway,
you can't give up.
Let's get back to that. So Sally is tied at the top with myself and Chris Edwards, who had a 9-pick week. He got himself back into the mix. Rich Long had 3. He was tied for second last week, but he's kind of tapered off a little bit. John Michael Stroud, he tapered off. He's at 4. Keith Whitley's at dead, but he got 8. Dalton DeBose had 6. He's at 46. He's 3 picks back. Same thing for Christian Young. Eddie Hicks is also 3 picks back. Cale Hall had Billy Muse had 9. He's at 3 picks back. Matt Tomlinson had 13. So Matt Tomlinson's on fire. He picks up 13 there. He's at 45. He's 4 picks back. Zach Celentano's at 44. He's 5 picks back, along with Lewis Bolin and Tyrone Quarles. Dennis Wilson at a 10 spot. Way to go, Dennis. Sponsor of the show. He's at 44. He's within striking distance. As, by the way, Deshaun Watson lighting up New England again. It's amazing. They get rid of that suck-ass Jadeveon Clowney. And what happens? They can beat New England. Imagine that.
Get rid of that dead weight. I said I couldn't get my spreadsheet to my computer.
Okay.
So I texted Rob. Let's be.
They got rid of that dead weight, the guy who has work ethic issues, and now they're looking like a really, really great team. Look at this. Deshaun Watson running the speed option here and lighting up a Bill Belichick defense. That doesn't happen very often. Anyway, Lewis Bolin's at 44. He got a 7 correct. Dennis Wilson's at 44. He got 10. Ben Simmons got 6 correct. He's at 43. Tabitha Sims picked up 8. She's at 43. Mark McCurry's at 43. Kevin Starkey's at 43. He got 8 correct. Jason Sims got 4 correct. He is at 41. Along with Kim Bellinger, Lisa Sister got 6 correct. She's at 41. Chris Driver's at 41. Matt Hewlett's at 41. Tyler Crowder, he's doing well. He's at 41. Along with Kyle Spavy, got 9 correct picks. He's at 40. Chris Rentz picked up 10. He's 9 back?
Mm-hmm.
So he's still mathematically in it. Chris Rentz is in it at 40. Eliminated from the competition at 39, the comrade, Mike Dabrowski.
Can't win now. Well, listen, we have to decide. Do we want to go with 10 games or 9 games? Because the Pac-12 championship is on Friday night. Do you want to include that game?
How many picks are you back, 9 or 10?
I'm 10 back.
You're so 10.
Definitely could still win.
Carlos Holder, you are 3 picks ahead of the comrade. So I tell you what, we'll ask the Robin Comrade audience watching on Twitter Live tonight, do you want to do 10 games or 9 games? I don't think it's fair. And Mike, I'm being honest. I don't think it's fair for me to be in on that discussion because I'm up at the top. And if I say do 9 games, people will think that I'm being silly. So you make that decision with people because I don't think it's fair.
Is if Clemson or Carolina play on a Thursday. So, I mean,
but Mike,
it's
different though because it's championship week, and I don't have a problem with it. But I don't think it's fair for me to be in on that side of it because I honestly don't think that's fair since I'm up near the top of the standings. So there you go.
I mean, so how it works is there's 10 championship games because there's 5 Power 5 conferences, and of course,
yeah, I don't have a problem with the 10. Do you think that's fair to do the 10?
I mean, so the only problem is that the Pac-12 game is on Friday night.
Right. Well, so, they have to put it out Friday there. Night, and I mean, so. but that's fair because you got to get your picks in before the Pac-12 game. If they're not in, it doesn't count. I mean, it's as simple as that.
You can turn your picks in on Saturday morning. It's just that the you won't get credit for the Friday game.
Okay, I mean, but I'm just saying. I don't want to be a part of that because I don't want anybody to think that we're cheating. I mean, in theory, let's be honest. Even if you get all 10 correct, you're probably not winning the competition.
How do you know that? You don't know that.
Not everybody's gonna. You got 20 people. What if ahead everybody of you. Goes Nobody's gonna 10? Go over. Nobody's gonna go over.
You don't know that, and tiebreaker goes to whoever carries the podcast.
I carry the podcast.
So
okay.
You don't carry the podcast.
Anyway, but no, the point is that do you want to go all 10 or not? Do you think that's more viable?
I mean, I would just because we're this championship week. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
This is the final week of the season. This is it. We're not doing Army Navy. We're doing this, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And then we go to Bowl Challenge Week. So listen, I'll put it out. I mean. I don't know.
I think it's best. Dennis Wilson, sponsor of the show, says 10, so I say 10.
Okay, we'll do 10.
We'll do 10. There you go.
We'll do 10. So the good news is the Friday night game is a late game, so you have
plenty of time.
You know, most people, here's the thing, though. I look at the picks real quick.
Yeah.
Most people get their picks in, very few people do their picks Saturday morning.
Right.
Very, very few people. Most people have their picks in before Friday afternoon. So
and by the way, when we do our show on Wednesday, I will not put my picks on this online. I'll put my picks in after that. So there's that. But let's see. Running down the line here, Comrades at 39, Jeremy McClure's at 38, Thomas Powell's at 38. Chris Smith had 8 picks correct. He's at 38. Jeff Pritchett has just given up. He's at 37. Joe Anders, in addition to being a scumbag who wants players taken out by other players, I hope you drown in your fishing boat, Joe. I really mean that. You are at 37. I don't want you to drown. I just want you to be fishing in the boat, and it sinks, and you're just standing there with water up to your testicles, and it's cold. That's what I want. I don't want you to drown. Zach Abercrombie's at 37. Gary Mills is at 36. Wendy Wyatt did not pick. What the hell, Wendy?
I know.
Nick Marcingale did not pick, and Jamie Phillips did not pick. Thomas Danny Young did not pick. Sean Fletcher did pick. He's at 33. We've already awarded the Dick Trophy to Mike Muse, so I'll be taking that by tomorrow. So there you go. There's
I'm glad
that.
Mike Muse stopped picking. I might have won that Dick Trophy.
You might have won that Dick Trophy. You've been terrible this year.
I know. Well, here's the thing, though. I feel really good with the bowl challenge. And for those of you who are out of the first of all, Dennis Wilson, you know, he paid for 2 entries. He may still win this contest here. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I guess I got to refund his money if he does that, or refund one of his entries. But anyway,
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
So if you get into the bowl challenge, go to robincomrade.com.
Yeah, the bowl challenge is next. So that's $20. The next thing. Bowl
the first
challenge
game is December 20th, I believe.
I thought it was the 20th. I thought it was 15th, but okay.
No, it's actually later this year. It's the 20th. And so what you got to do now, and this is, you know, you got to pick all your picks at one time, and all the bowl games. I forget, there's like 39 bowl games, I think there is.
Yeah.
And then obviously we don't know the title game. But what you're going to do is pick the team you think will win it all of the 4 playoff teams. You'll pick the 2 playoff games, okay, against the point spread, because we'll have those. And then you got to pick who you think will win the national championship, and we'll have a tiebreaker for, like, total points in the title game. Will be the tiebreaker in case someone's tied. And if it's still a tie after that, then we'll split the money. So, and what I'll do is I'll grade the picks, like, every – like few days,
yeah,
to give an update.
You'll grade them every
board.
Few days so people can have an idea of where
yeah,
they are.
Like,
right?
I'm not going to do after one game's done, but, like, you know, the first day when you have like 4 or 5 games going
right.
on, I'll do it then, and so you can see where you are. But it's pretty cool. It's a different kind of, it's the same kind of contest as a point spread, but it's cool too because it's, you know, you kind of see it. You can't, like, you know, it's like your picks are out there. You know, you can look and see, you know, who did what. You can look, see who's got what. And if you get in contention later on, you can see, you know, who picked what, and you might have a sleeper to win the national championship, you know, and that'll be the key. So yep. I've won the bowl contest before. Rob's won it before.
I won it last year.
You won it last year, yeah. So it's cool. So $20, same idea. Winner takes it all.
It's amazing. The Houston Texans, they get rid of that suck-ass Clowney, and now they have a pass rush.
Yeah, whatever,
and they're sacking one of the best quarterbacks in
Brady
football.
Brady looks like washed up.
He's the best quarterback in
the
college history.
As well,
with Bill Belichick on the sidelines, one of the best coaches in college history, so there's that, yeah. too. Yeah, that's what's happened.
If you win the bowl
when you
contest,
get rid of a loser,
you
can do that.
The Patriots and Bama have never won a championship in the same year. Isn't that unreal?
That is kind of unreal.
So,
anyway,
like, the Patriots probably are favored now because Bama can't win it.
The Texans, they have no problem with getting a pass rush on one of the best coaches.
Back
ever.
To the real quick. So anyway, so if that. You win the season long contest, you get a
yep.
you get all the money and you get a free entry into the bowl challenge. So those of you in contention have a shot at getting the bowl contest for free. If you win the bowl contest, you get the money and you get a free entry into our March Madness bracket. You get a free
yep.
bracket. So. You always get
March
one
Madness is kind of cool, but this is kind of cool to play over the holidays. So you have to pick once, and once you pick
yep.
once, you're done. So it's not
you
like
you worry about
thing.
Forgetting anything. I mean, as long as you get your picks the first time, you're good. So,
yeah, there you go with that. All right, so we will crown a champion next Sunday night after all the championship games are done. We will have all 10 championship games. We'll crown a champion for the Pick'em Challenge. If you're within 10 picks, I guess you're considered to be in it. I don't think that. I think you need to be within 5, in my opinion, to be considered in the
yeah,
running.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
You got
to
be.
So Dennis Wilson, Matt Tomlinson.
It's kind of like the final round of a golf major.
Right. By the way, let me make sure we understand this too. By the way, Carlos Holder may finish ahead of you. He's got a 3-pick lead on you. There's only 9 games to go.
Yeah,
just throwing that out there. Matt Tomlinson will definitely finish ahead of you.
once again,
without
he gets
a
no credit
doubt.
For it. I can't
he gets
give him
complete credit for it.
Can't, you can't
I have
make
credit
excuses.
For it. It's on the Robin Comrade site.
You can't
he beats you senseless.
You can't,
that's
you
just
can't
the way that it is.
Blame your kid.
He's not.
In your
He went 13-2 this week. That's pretty
you
damn good.
You can't blame your kid in your business and then
that's
come
like,
back and say,
what,
oh,
91%, something like that, 85%.
You can't go down that road.
Ridiculous number. Anyway, getting back to it, we will have 10 games this week, Mike. Why don't we talk about the South Carolina Clemson game, then we'll get into those games, all right?
All right.
So, with the South Carolina Clemson game, what had happened was what we told you would happen, or what I told you would happen at the beginning of the season. I said for sure on several occasions we'd cover 21+. Trevor Lawrence went out there and did great stuff and put on a really, really...
Rarely on. He looked a little bit... He
did you look at his numbers? His numbers look great. By the way, T. Higgins and all those guys did their thing. Travis Etienne did his thing. Mm-hmm. You can call it that if you want.
They were pushing off. Just be honest. I'm not saying
was it flagged, sir?
I'm not saying we lost every... But
okay, what, was
honest,
it flagged?
You guys pushed
was
up.
It flagged? Was it flagged?
Well, all I'm saying is...
Was it flagged? Can you answer
that? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it real quick, okay? When you guys get called for it in a big game come playoff time,
well,
I don't
want to
hear you complaining.
I don't complain about that because the refs do their thing.
And if I were you, I would have, in terms of football karma, I would have wanted it called on Saturday because it didn't matter. You would have beaten us anyway. You know, because now it's going to catch up to you.
And I don't see that.
Come playoff time,
these are all excuses.
They're
going to
call it, and it's going to be,
Mike, he's too big of a receiver,
Mike.
It's not going
to
matter. None of that's going
to
matter.
So just remember, when it gets called on playoff time.
There was nothing there, Mike. There was nothing to call. There was nothing to call.
You're saying they didn't push off. And the first touchdown, they didn't push off.
Nope. It wasn't called, so there was no push off.
Oh, okay.
The refs didn't call it.
So when it gets called in the playoffs,
if it gets called in the playoffs,
right?
If it's called a push off, it's a push off. But it wasn't in that game, so it wasn't a push off.
Right. I think the karma's
just like Woody Dantzler. Woody Dantzler back in the day, that wasn't a push off. It wasn't called.
I'm not making excuses. I just said.
Okay. Well, then the first words out of your mouth.
Okay,
yes, you are making excuses. The first words out of your mouth were very simple. He pushed off. He pushed off. He pushed off. T. Higgins
doing their thing.
T. Higgins.
He did.
T. Higgins killed you guys.
We couldn't score. It didn't matter.
Really?
We scored 7 points. We beat him. So
I
didn't say it didn't matter.
Okay, let's take T. Higgins out of the mix. How about Justin Ross? 9 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Was he pushing off?
Pushed off.
Yes. Okay. Well, by the way, he had 111 yards by himself, and you had 174 yards total. Now, you know why you had 174 yards total, right?
I can tell you some reasons.
Okay, well, we can get into that in a moment. But looking at the numbers, Trevor Lawrence on the day, he was killing it. 316 yards passing is what Clemson ended up with. He had 295 of it. Our buddy Chase Bryce did some good stuff there. But Lawrence, 295 yards passing, 66 yards rushing on the ground. That puts him at what, 361 total yards of offense? Yeah, he had twice the amount of offense than your entire sorry-ass team. So when you start talking about, oh, well, he didn't look that impressive, he had twice as much yardage as your entire team. He had 18 consecutive completions, Mike. How can that be bad? How can that be bad? Do not use the words "not looking good" in that game when he had 18 straight completions.
You know, early in the game, back when Dabo was yelling at the water boy because he was.
And that's another thing, South Carolina fans, you are the saltiest bunch of motherfuckers I've ever seen.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, you are salty.
Austin Powell, thank you. Early in the game, Kurt missed a lot of throws. He did. Early in the game,
well, that's fine, but he made up for it. He made up for it. Let me finish.
You're all salty.
No. Ever since we started talking about this game, everything you've been saying is nothing on the front of, but Higgins pushed off and Lawrence didn't do well. How about this? How about this? You showed up with your team in your stadium that holds 87,000 people, or however many people it holds, and we went in there to that dump and we beat the snot out of you again.
So,
well, and guess what? It's going to be a lot worse, Mike, because you're keeping that sorry ass coach of yours. Oh, we'll see. Guess what? I'm calling it now. Write this down. It's December the 1st. Right now, we win next year too. All right, you want to bet on that, sir? And by the way, I'm going to call it now. We win the year after that. Two more straight years, okay, we will win. Right. No, no, no. Write it down, Mike. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a
fuck.
First of all,
Dad will leave for that damn job in about a year and a half.
He's not leaving for Alabama. He's not going to do that. Let me finish. Let me finish, sir. The reason being is because your university doesn't take football seriously. They don't take football seriously. And they're keeping Will Muschamp because apparently winning is not important to them. Missouri cares more about football than South Carolina does. They've already shown that. And as long as Muschamp is there, it'll be another year, and it's going to continue to break down any structure that you have. And when he leaves, he will leave it like he left Florida, and they will be a shithole. And that's what's going to happen. Now, I feel sorry for the next coach that comes in, because the next coach might be a good guy. Maybe your athletic director, which will not be Ray Tanner, will be able to convince somebody that's worth a shit to come to South Carolina, and he'll probably be a good guy. But the reality is after what Will Muschamp has done to the program, he won't be able to rebound it. Okay? So when Medlin and I talk about the decade of dicking, that may end up what it's going
to
be.
Stop making statements, these definitive, like, oh, he'll never be able to turn it around. First of all,
maybe he'll turn around, maybe he won't.
Never. Stop doing that.
Never.
Stuff. Everything goes in cycles. You guys are
it's
back
not,
in freaking
Mike,
crap.
Mike,
news.
It's not a cycle, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Not a cycle.
So Clemson will be in a playoff for the rest of all time.
I'm not talking about playoffs. I'm saying right now we are a 3-4 touchdown team, better team than you are right now. We're talking about you. Yeah, as long as Will Muschamp is there. Will Muschamp will never beat Clemson.
Stupid.
I'm just saying right now. Will Muschamp will never beat Clemson as a head coach of South Carolina.
Never be able to recover from it.
You will not. It took Florida forever. They had to go through another coach.
Never be able to. Never in history.
They had to go through Ron Zook.
Forever and ever.
You're going to be just like that. It's not dumb. It's factual. It's factual.
Dumb.
I'm sorry if these things hurt your feelings.
I'm not.
Okay,
dumb.
Hey,
don't
Mike. Worry. Mike, I tell you what, man. Is Will Muschamp a defensive genius? Do you believe that?
I don't know what the hell he is right now.
Okay, well, I was hoping you would say that he was, because one of the things that came out today was that they're getting rid of some people on the offensive side of the ball. They're getting rid of Dan Werner, the quarterback coach, which you came on here and you said that he's a good quarterback coach. I don't know if he's a good quarterback coach or not, to be completely honest with you.
I
think he's got some issues. He's got a history of working with some guys, but at South Carolina, he really didn't help much. Let's be honest. Then you also, they got rid of, that was the one that they got rid of. But I wanted to ask you about this. They're keeping Brian McClendon, but demoting him.
I don't know for sure if he's going to stay or not.
Well, that's what the report said, that they wanted to keep him on staff, but take his play calling abilities away from him. And if you hear this on Monday afternoon, things may have changed. We're recording this at 11 o'clock on Sunday night. But the reality is that they're talking about keeping him. What the hell does that do to a coaching staff where it's like, all right, you weren't good enough to call plays. We're going to bring somebody else in here. You think that offensive coordinator is going to be tough?
He's a good coach. He's a good recruiter.
But don't you think that screws a little bit with his confidence, though? I mean, in his abilities.
I'm pretty sure Brian McClendon understands the pressure Will Muschamp's under, the fact that Will Muschamp is on the hot seat now, and that Will Muschamp has to make a change. And I'm sure Brian McClendon gets that. I'm sure he's not taking it personal, but he knows he's got to do something different in offense in order to try to win the fan base or to placate the fan base or to the boosters. I mean, Brian McClendon's not dumb. I mean, he's a smart guy. He understands. I don't think he's going to take it personally. Like, oh, you hurt my feelings, Coach Muschamp. How can you not believe in me? You know, I think he understands the bigger picture. Now, will he choose to stay? I don't know. But he's a good coach. I'm sure Muschamp wants him to stay because he's.
I'm sure he wants it. He wants him to stay and coach wide receivers. I get that, but I'm talking about the psyche of the team, how that can affect the team. But here's the other thing, though.
Affect the team, though.
Here's the other thing, though. Will Muschamp has been quoted as being a defensive genius. He is a defensive coordinator. I'll give him that. He's being paid as a head coach, but in reality, he's a defensive coordinator. His defense is ranked 70th in the country in total defense, behind such big powers as Wyoming and, insert shithole team here. But no changes are coming to the defensive side of the ball. Not one. No,
well, they've
sir.
Improved this year, so.
Okay, so, but 70th is good enough for you, right?
Well, I'm not saying it's good enough. They've improving. It's going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. The offense went the opposite direction. But
the offense bounced back under McClendon last year, and they were rated higher.
I do want to say this, that the idea of blaming just the offense, there's more problems than that. I understand.
How about firing your special teams coordinator?
Oh, I know.
Your special teams was shit this year.
I've been out here every week bitching about special teams. Every week. And once again, this happened on Saturday, okay? And the game was over by now. But this is the kind of thing that's annoying me, okay? And here's the thing. I was watching MAC action, MAC football on a Tuesday like 3 weeks ago. And I forgot who it was now. It might have been Akron. I don't know who was playing. But I'm watching, and there's one dude and the one team, the punt returner, every time the ball was punted on short punts, would sprint up, wave his damn hands, and catch the ball every time. Our punt returners on Saturday, his heels were on the 16-yard line. The ball was punted at about the 17-yard line. Did he step up a yard to catch it? No.
He backed
up two steps and let it land on the ground and go, get away from it, guys. I don't know what in the world happens in special teams practice. We have done that repeatedly. The Missouri
I can tell,
game,
I can tell you what happens.
Lord, I still
I can tell you what happens.
If Brian Edwards steps up and catches a damn putt after the first three and out, the whole game is different. The whole game is different.
Right. Well, you've said that, but I can tell you what happens in special teams practice. Absolutely nothing.
So the special teams coach, you got to go, because the attention to detail, we have none on special teams. And it annoys me.
Well, but like, this is
I love teams that are good special teams that are, you know, just do the right thing. Like,
the prime example of that was Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech back in the day. That's the prime example of that. Yeah,
we are horrible.
You are horrible.
Horrible all year long, and people don't even talk about it. Like, I get it because you can talk about 45 other things we do wrong.
If was a good coach, you would be worried
but
about
special
that.
Teams is horrible, but so I want him gone, okay?
Well, Dillman, but he should be gone,
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm an expert on strength and conditioning, okay? But I do know that at Florida, we had Dillman, had tons of injuries, and at Carolina, tons of injuries. And I do know that Dillman's kind of an old school guy, believes in bulk and size. And I think the trend is kind of getting away from that, where it's more about flexibility, core strength, preventative recovery. And I think he's like still like 1985, like just bench press, dude, throw it up, you know? And I don't think that works nowadays in the modern game. Now, listen, we could get the best guy in the world, a damn guru, and next year have as many injuries, okay? Because sometimes we're like,
injuries are completely different thing. Let me throw something in on the special teams coach, by the way. I read today that they were paying him as one of the top, he was one of the top 10 coordinators as far as strength and conditioning in the country. They're paying him $425,000.
Special teams
to be strength and conditioning.
Well,
so he was one of the top 10 in the country. Now I put that out there because I want it to be people to understand that this is not an issue of the Gamecocks are just like, let's just throw Penny Any at somebody. They spent a ton of money for this guy to come there, and he just didn't get the results that people wanted.
It may have nothing to do with him. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and say that's the reason, but I think if you've had injuries like we've had, the soft tissue stuff at Florida, at Carolina, I mean,
a lot of it with hamstrings. The hamstrings went crazy at Florida and South Carolina.
Maybe a different voice, a different approach, you know?
Right. Well,
maybe Will Muschamp's just freaking cursed. And every team he coaches
That's not very bright, Mike.
Or maybe he.
But, you know, I don't think that's very bright to say that. I don't think that he's cursed. I just think that he's not a good coach.
I'm trying to, like, listen, to sit there and say, you know for sure why guys are getting in, I don't know. But I think you need to change something, though, and start with, you know. And
right.
The,
well,
I'm sorry, but the fall guy, the scapegoat, listen. It's
let
not
me
that,
put this.
You know, and we could
let me
bring in a
let me
guru
put this out there
next year and have the same problems. But
I want to put something out there really quick on this. with the whole thing with Will Muschamp and everything else. I think South Carolina would be looking for a new coach today if President Caslin had not started running his mouth. And people can and say whatever. I think South Carolina has the money for the buyout. I think they would have figured out how to pay for it. They would have structured it over years. But I think that with President Caslin running his mouth, and let's be honest, lying about what he said, I think that South Carolina would be looking for a new head coach today. But since he came out and ran his mouth and lied, now you get to keep Muschamp the liar. And by the way, he lied, blatantly lied at his press conference on Monday. He said point blank, he was asked, his exact words were, the question was from it wasn't Sapikoff. I can't remember. It was the guy from the Big Spur, I think. I think it may have been John Rutter Riddle or whatever his name is. And he said, opened up and he said, I'll take your questions on the game. When he came out on Tuesday, he said, can you update us on Feaster and Joyner? Will they be able to play? And he said, point blank, they both have practiced this week and they are 100%. Then he comes out for game day. Oh, we're not playing DeCarrion Joyner because he's in concussion protocol. Now, let me finish, man. Okay? Now, you can sit here and you can try to defend that all you want, but the reality is that for the people that go down there and cover this stuff, he lied to us. He gave us a message to give to the Gamecock fan base that those two guys would be ready to go, and the guy was out with concussion issues from the Texas A&M game, Mike. Okay, he lied about it.
That's not...
He lied,
listen,
Mike.
Listen, listen.
Then why would you lie to the media, Mike? That doesn't make any sense. Don't lie.
Guess who listens to the media as well? The opposing coaches. I have no
who
problem.
Cares. Everybody else does
no
that,
idea.
Man. You have to be only if he doesn't only has to
feelings.
Say.
I'm sorry that hurt your
look,
feelings.
Look, it's not an issue of hurting my feelings.
Not,
he's a liar.
Not,
well, I tell you what, it doesn't. You don't have to go with me
that,
with
that,
it.
That's just
all right. Well, why don't you, Cale Hall, who will be joining the show as a feature part of our show here in the coming weeks? He thinks he's a liar. So it's not just me; it's Gamecock fans that see it too.
He's lying about something. He's not. He's doing it for the reason of making it hard for their team to prepare for.
Okay, so it's okay to lie as long as it benefits the team. Is that what you're saying?
It's my injury.
It's a very direct question, Mike.
Okay,
you think that it's okay to lie? Mike, he puts out everything on the injury list, dude.
Are you mad about Belichick?
No, because he puts out an injury report and he puts out there if somebody has any intention of not playing, they're on the injury report. Okay, but when somebody man-to-man asks you a question and then you lie to them, he's lying.
And Belichick does it all the time with injuries. That's what he learned it from. That's what the Saban whole thing. He does it all the time with injuries.
He lied, and that's fine. But President Caslin lied. All right, well, President Caslin lied, right?
The issue is, as gambling becomes legalized, that's right. One of the big issues they got to figure out because
– And that's fair.
A huge
that's a fair point.
In terms of – if you have a certain few people who know the actual truth, that's why the NFL has the injury report. You think the NFL does injury reports because of transparency? They do it for gambling reasons.
That's fine, Mike. But look, let's get back to it. President Caslin lied. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he lied. Yeah, that's a lie.
He completely lied. But the point is that he lied. And
Will
Gamecock fans.
Will
but Gamecock fans, look,
on
you and I are never
President
going
Caslin,
to agree.
President Caslin lied and tried to undermine another person's word who was telling the truth. Okay, Muschamp doesn't do that.
Well,
Muschamp's not sitting there saying the reporter said this.
Mike, you and I will never agree on Muschamp.
He's just not giving you what you want to hear. He's telling
you. It's not an issue of giving me what I want to hear. They asked a direct question. I want a direct answer.
Well, he doesn't want to tell you. So either he says
well,
no comment.
Then there's a better way to do that. He can say point blank, we have to check with the medical staff, thank you, and move on.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to do it.
He decides not to do it. That's a lie, too, if he knows they're playing.
Oh my God! You can go to the medical staff. That's not a lie. We have to check with the medical staff.
It's a lie if he already knows he's not going to play. He's not checking the medical staff.
The easy thing to do is to put that on the medical staff
but you
because
want
he's
lie
not
a
doctor.
Way.
No, I'm not wanting him to lie at all. I want him to answer the question directly.
Saying,
but to give it,
staff,
I'm giving him an outlet.
If he knows he's not playing.
Okay, well, we're not going to agree on this, and I don't want to fight with you about it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, and he does it the wrong way.
He's not – it's different kinds of lies. That's not a lie that bothers me because he's doing it for – it's not like he's playing
a kid who's injured. Lying to protect the team is good. I've got it.
He's playing a kid who's injured and risking his career. He actually is the opposite. I think he goes, tries not to play
with kids. I can't win this argument with you because you and I just see it completely differently, and I don't want to fight with you about it. No, I just see it one way.
He tried to throw a reporter under the bus and made the reporter seem like they were lying, the whole fake news stuff.
Right.
I have a problem with that.
I have a problem with that, too. At least we can agree on that. But luckily, that reporter recorded that interview, and then we hit him in the mouth with it.
Which shows that Kaslin's a dumb because he doesn't realize.
But then you know what happened? Kaslin went and actually got a PR person hired to take care of his PR stuff. Because he's a moron. And by the way, President Kaslin, I'm sure President Kaslin listens to this show because everybody else does. President Kaslin, if you're listening to this show, let me help you with something. Here's what you need to focus on at the University of South Carolina. When you're putting together academics, exactly. Go out there and figure out how last year or this year, basically, you had the biggest freshman class in Gamecock history and you didn't have enough housing for all of them and you put some of them up in hotel rooms. Figure out how you're going to fix that. Figure out how you're going to fix some of the dorms that have mold growing in them, which when that hits the state newspaper, that's going to go off. And that's not really an indictment on him. That's been a problem that they've just got to figure that out. But that, as the president, is what you need to be figuring out, not what you do on 12 Saturdays a year. Because in reality, people come to the University of South Carolina to get degrees. It's an academic institution. The football team can go 0-12, and they're still going to be trying to get an education. That's what you need to focus on. So work on that, President Kaslin, before you start opening your mouth about, we need to get rid of Will Muschamp. Yeah, you do, because Muschamp is an asshole and is not a good football coach. But if you would have shut your mouth, you would have been able to get rid of him off the bat. All you had to do was just shut up. But because of you, the Gamecocks get another year of this guy.
Can I say something real quick, though, too, about getting rid of Muschamp? Here's my issue. And I'm not going to – I told you before, it's a little bit a month ago. I'm not going to sit here and defend him to people who want him gone, okay? I understand who want him gone. I get it, okay?
Right.
The only thing I want to say is this, though. If you get rid of him, who you get?
Yeah, well, but you know what, Mike? That's kind of that. Hold on, let me address that really quick.
Are you going to get someone for sure who's better than he is?
Well, I think so. Steve Adazio's on the market. He's a better coach. I'll take Steve Adazio today, tomorrow, and next week over Will Muschamp.
You know, the money it's going to take to get rid of him.
Look, and if you want to argue the money end of it, I can go with that. But
you know, Ole Miss and Missouri making these changes to 4 years. Listen, I really think if you're a coach looking for a job, and you got job offers coming, I'm looking at a school that has a little more stability. Like, you know what? They're going to give the coach a chance. I have a problem going to a school like an Ole Miss or Missouri that aren't what you call football powers.
I'm going to let my dogs in. Get that point out.
And they go, they gave them 4 years. Wow. Like, this isn't this damn – I'm not going into freaking Alabama here. I can understand Bama getting to – you're going into Missouri and Ole Miss in 4 years, all you're going to give your coach? Same with South Carolina. If he's fired him this year, if I'm a coach and I'm from a job, I'm thinking, really, South Carolina, you took over a 3-9 team, you give him 4 years, and that wasn't – so I think, regardless what you think – hang on to him for this next coming up near, and even through year six. I think six is what he'll get, and if things aren't turned around, he'll be gone. I think when you go to hire a new coach at that point, they'll say, "Hey, well, they gave the last coach 6 years, they gave him six seasons, and that's fair." And I'm confident enough that I can turn this around in six seasons. Okay, if I'm giving six seasons, I can turn this around. And it's more of an appealing job than going to the Ole Miss or Missouri, who gave their coaches 4 years, So that's the other thing too. You got to think about as well. Okay, the whole idea of just firing guys real quick, like these schools are doing, it satisfies the fan base to a certain degree. Like, we got our, we're angry, we want people gone. I mean, I got people who want to fire everybody. Okay, here's one thing real quick. You can't fire everybody. If you fire the AD and the coach at the same time, newsflash, who's hiring your coach? Well, you got to hire an AD first. Okay? He has to come in. And as the clock ticks, 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 ticks. Now, the AD, once he's in, he's got to find a coach. Tick, tick, tick. So who are you going to get at that point? If you want to make this easier, okay, and you want to get rid of Muschamp, what you got to do is you give him next year, okay? Doesn't go well, you know who you fire? If you're holding the whole football and it's Ray Tanner's fault, you fire Ray Tanner at the end of next season.
Right.
You bring in a new AD, and he comes in, and he observes the program for Muschamp's sixth year.
Right.
He kind of sits there and kind of, you know, and this time you get Muschamp a sixth year. Maybe he'll turn around if not. Usually the new AD wants his own guy anyway, so the sixth year better be a great year. And then he then goes out there and finds a coach. The whole idea right. of just fire this. Okay, yeah, that's going to really be.
I'm not saying you should get rid of Ray Tanner. I think Ray Tanner's done a good job.
You know, we can argue about that back and forth. But the whole idea of firing them both at the same time.
No, you can't fire them both at the same time. That's not very bad.
And then what are you going to do? Have I said that on the show?
I haven't said that, have I?
No, I'm talking about people on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I was about
people
to say.
Who want them go, fire them both right now.
People on Twitter are dumb.
And I know they're mad. But then I say, are you really serious? Yeah. I go, think this through right now. Who's hiring the new coach then?
Right.
The new AD. Okay. Well, we got to hire the AD. Okay. That's a process. Okay. So who are you going to get then? Like, I just, you know, at a certain point is if there's somebody out there who is obviously much better than Will Muschamp and you can get him right now, that's different. That's not the case right now. I'm not sure who you can get right now.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm on the camp of fire Will Muschamp, but I'm not on the camp of firing the AD, even though I know that the AD is responsible for that. But putting the wrap on this game, it's not really a rivalry anymore right now. South Carolina is so far behind. That's why
Dabo
I picked
this. Dabo said it is.
Well, that Dabo can have his opinion. We all have our opinions, but the reality is I don't think
when we're beaten, it wasn't a rivalry. Now that he beats us,
it's not. It's not a rivalry, Mike. We win too many games. Even before your 5-game
winning
streak.
Dabo says it is.
Okay, well, that's fine. Dabo can have his opinion.
I will say this, though. The game real quick. Let me talk about the game because you didn't give me a chance to. You try to, you know, not give my opinion. So, anyway, so 2 weeks ago, I didn't even want to play the game, to be honest with you. I was like, man, I don't even want to see this game. Okay? And then, like, what happens usually is you start kind of getting, well, maybe we can do it, you know. And then I heard Muschamp talk, and he talked about two things he said I heard Muschamp talk about was – changing the offensive scheme up a little bit, and time possession was going to be important. And so I said, you know what? I texted my best friend, Brian. I go, you know what? I think we're playing Joyner. I think we're going to go to carry on Joyner, majority of the snaps. We're gonna milk the play clock down to seven seconds every play. Joyner with zone reads, going to roll out stuff. We're going to show him something differently. I go, and maybe Joyner has this big day in the ground, hits a few deep passes, and our defense comes up, and we have a shot. You know, so I talked myself into, you know, the belief of.
Okay. Anyway, finish. Yeah, there we go. And I think.
My whole point was, you know, I thought we had a puncher's chance if that was the game plan. And I remember telling my buddy, this is probably about Friday, maybe Saturday morning, right before the news broke that Jordan was going to play. I said, if we come out with Helinski and shotgun and five wide, I may break the TV. And hurry up offense. And then, of course, right after I send that text, I get the report that Joyner's not playing. And I was like, are you kidding me? And so at that point, I told my friend, we're going to lose by 90 points. I said, we're going to lose by 90 points. And I was kind of upset that we didn't use Yurick more. You know, I just think that we could have done that with him. He's not as good as Joyner running the ball, but he's a good athlete. And I think that, you know, I think, you know, and this is not a Helinski. I have no problem with Helinski, but just the matchup wasn't a good one with Helinski. And plus, he got hurt there. The pocket quarterback is not going to beat Clemson.
Right.
And so I thought their best chance was to put Yurick in there, zone read, have him run, have him do a play action, maybe go downfield a little bit. I'm not sure how well he can throw the ball. Okay, he's been a receiver most of the year, and back and forth. But I just thought that when Joyner was out, it's kind of a punch in the gut. And not that we would have been indifferent. I'm sure we would have still gotten killed. But I think we could have maybe stayed in the game a little bit longer, you know, and so forth and so on. But it was a horrible day. Horrible day and a horrible season.
Right.
And thankfully, it's over.
All right. Well, I tell you what. I'm going to you and I. We have to put our 10 conference championships up there. You're going to put them up on the Vegas Insider site. See what the lines are.
Yeah, and I'll have it tomorrow for sure. So if we do 10 games for sure.
From there,
and
yeah.
I'll put a note on the page too that was voted on during the live show. We voted on 10 games. That Friday night will be the first game. So.
All right, so we'll have that going for us, and once we get that squared away, we'll have that set up for you. Folks on Twitter Live, stay with us, and because I'm going to record a quick bit here with KL Mike, since I want to get his thoughts on the game. I should have set this up earlier, but we'll record this bit with KL, and we'll stay live on Twitter with that. But, Comrade, do you have anything you want to add to the rest of this week's show?
That's it. Check the Robin Comrade Show page and get in the bowl challenge, robincomrade.com. And get going on that. December is here, so the home stretch is coming here.
All right. So with that, this show is a wrap. Podcast listeners, I welcome you in as I finish up with a comrade here. And we will bring in Kale Hall. Kale joined us a little bit after... Maybe I'm going to call it Kale After Dark. That'd be kind of cool. But here's some comments I have with Kale as we wrap up this Sunday night edition of the Robin Comrade Show.
Well, I think Will Muschamp is running Facebook.
Yeah, that would solve that.
Well, I tell you what. So for folks that are watching on Twitter now, Kale Hall has agreed to be a feature on our show, meaning that it is the Robin Comrade Show featuring Kale Hall. Now, I don't expect Kale to do two shows a week with us because that's complicated. Kale's got a job and a booming business. But I do want to bring Kale in with us because Kale brings a good bit of wit and charm to the show. And what I'm going to do, Kale, is that I'm pretty sure that I can just record this from Twitter into the podcast. And then I'll have that set up in the podcast, and then everyone can listen to the podcast. But I've got an idea that I'm going to call you about where we may be able to do the entire show on YouTube and then put all three of our pictures together and have, like, dueling cameras there. So that might be a plan, too. But I'll get with you on that. So, but, Kale, I got to get your thoughts on the game, man. It was a shit show, but your real thoughts.
How much can I use profanity here?
You can use whatever the hell you want, Cam. I called the comrade a shithead earlier.
Dude, fucking Will Muschamp. you know that I have adopted your friends at the Mazad cast, right? And some of the language that they use. He is a fucking asshole. The team sucks. They just—I mean, they really do. I don't know of any other way to put this.
Hot dog water.
Hot garbage. They suck. they suck ass. I mean,
it's really
that
bad.
I watched the replay of it. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I had to work yesterday. I went back and watched the replay of it. I mean, it's the most boring fucking football game that I've ever watched. I mean, other than Trevor Lawrence's 65-yard touchdown pass to T. Higgins, I mean, big clap. I mean, that was the big highlight of the fucking game. The rest of it sucks dick. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, we are playing a shitty brand of football.
It's terrible.
Brian, they can give Brian McClendon the label of a scapegoat all they want to. Okay? I mean, they can fire him. Go ahead, fire him, demote him, do whatever you got to do. The same thing with the quarterback coach. But the thing is, it all goes back to Muschamp. He's the coach. He's the one making the decisions. He's the one hiring these people. And he is the one who is ultimately pulling the trigger. You can't tell me that he – I've watched Brian McClendon call some plays in other games. He's a brilliant offensive mind. He's a good guy. He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. You can't tell me that this year all those shitty play calls were not Muschamp 100%. And they were. I mean, this guy is losing his job. He's getting docked about, you know, 75 to 80% of his salary because he has a dickhead who is a boss above him. It's bullshit. I don't like it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if nothing else, just let the guy go so he can go somewhere else and thrive and take that position somewhere else. And we're talking about replacements. We're talking about replacements for him. How about a replacement for you, you fucking asshole? I mean, who's going to replace this asshole? I mean, nobody's going to talk about that. I mean, and I've seen people in the SEC that have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
Matt Luke, who lost his job. Matt Luke has only been the coach at Ole Miss for 2 years. He'd been under NCAA sanctions.
I think he came for 3 years,
He's done a good job, in my opinion.
Well, the biggest example, though, between you and I, is the biggest example is Steve Adazio.
Yeah.
Steve Adazio is a hell of a coach.
Has Steve Adazio even had a losing record at Boston College?
I will look that up for you while we go on here, but Steve Adazio getting fired makes absolutely no sense to me.
I don't understand that. I mean, why would they fire him? I mean, Steve Adazio has done more with less than Will Muschamp's done less than more.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to disagree with you on that, man, but I'm looking at his coaching career right now. He was at Boston College from 2013 to 2019. I'm looking it up right now as we go year by year. Let's see here. Okay. He was 38 and 37 overall at Boston College, so he had to have at least 1 year there where he wasn't quite what he needed to be. He did follow Frank Spaziani. You remember Spaziani, right?
No, yeah, everybody remembers old Frankie.
Boston College.
Nobody remembers Frankie.
Yeah, nobody remembers Frankie. But he had 1-3-9 year. They were 0-8 in 2015. But he's won 7 games every year, except for this year where he finished 6-6. But if you look at, I mean, he's at Boston College. They haven't done shit since Doug Flutie, for God's sake. You know what I mean?
So Boston College hasn't won anything, and you know they haven't.
I'm with you on that, but I think that losing him was kind of a, I don't know what the hell was going on with that, but it just didn't look good. But there's talks about he may come there and come to South Carolina as his. As the offensive coordinator?
Coordinator.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. It makes no sense. I did hear, I don't know a lot about Adazio other than the fact that he was the head coach at Boston College. I mean, I didn't know. The only way that I knew that he even did anything else other than that, and this is a sad thing to say, but I mean you don't really know what other people do unless you kind of get out there. It was the Zach Smith podcast. I didn't know he was actually the offensive coordinator at Florida when Urban Meyer won the championship there in 2008.
Right. Well, to give you an example, I want to give you a quick note here on Adazio.
Zach is really high on Steve Adazio. Now, I mean, whether Zach's opinion means a hill of shit to anybody else but me is irrelevant, but.
And that's fine. But Adazio, last season, his team finished 13th in the ACC in recruiting. In 2018, I'm giving you the numbers as I I looked through them here on the 247 Sports site. But the big thing here is the in the ACC, he has had recruiting classes that have been pretty much near the bottom. The year before that, they finished 14th. But you know what? He's still getting 6-7 wins out of his team and not a 4-8 freaking debacle. And yeah, Muschamp's had like 18th to 20th as his recruiting classes.
Exactly.
So he's bringing in better players and getting a shittier result. So my point. I'm a South Carolina fan, I'd much rather have Adazio right now than Muschamp.
Yeah, he's doing less with more. He's doing more with less. I mean, if that could be the thing we're talking about. I mean, he's not able to bring in the top notch, top level players. Nobody wants to sit there. Nobody wants to play in mid October in 20 degree weather in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. But I mean, he's bringing some kids in there who want to do it, and I mean, he's bringing a better product to the field than Muschamp does. I mean, which is not saying a hell of a lot, but I mean, hell yes.
That's true, Cale. Well, I think the big thing with Muschamp right now, and I think the thing that bothers me, and trust me, you and I both know that I'm a Clemson guy. I'm gonna bleed the orange and the orange and purple whenever I can, the orange and white. But just stepping back from out of the box for a second, a couple things I want to throw your way before we get you out of here this evening, though it's late, but. The comrade and I just started talking, and we were talking about how Muschamp is a liar. And he doesn't think that Muschamp is lying simply because of, you know, you heard the press conference on Tuesday when he was specifically asked about Feaster and Joyner, and he said they were 100% practiced all week and they were good to go. Then it comes out on Saturday, oh, Joyner's in concussion protocol. To me, that's an absolute lie. He lied to the media. And it's just not good. And Comrade thinks it's okay. And I'm not trying to bash Mike because he's not here. But I wanted to get your opinion. Do you think Muschamp is lying when he says stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. And here's my thing about it, man. I mean, if we were embroiled in a national championship battle, if South Carolina and Georgia were tangled for first place in the SEC East with the winner fringing on the game, you know, one of these, yeah, maybe, okay? Yeah, maybe you don't show your hand to the other guy, but, I mean, dude, I mean, what do you have? I mean, why do you need to lie to your fan base, to the media? Why? I mean, why not just let everybody know what's going on? And that way, we don't hate you so much when the final result comes out. I mean, I was so mad. When I was at work and I found out that Brian Edwards was in street clothes, and I'm like, why is he in street clothes? I mean, this guy right here, he's our Jesus. He's our Messiah. He just told us that he's going to play today, and then he lied. He makes himself look like a liar. He makes himself look like, you know, he has no credibility, which obviously he has no credibility.
Yeah, well, and the other thing on that was, you know, we got the thing where, okay, they're demoting Brian McClendon. He said there's going to be changes made, so he demotes Brian McClendon and is essentially, from what we're gathering here, going to be the wide receivers coach, but he will not call plays anymore. Okay, he's out. We fire the strength and conditioning coach. Dan Werner's going to go away. Apparently, they're keeping Bobby Bentley. Okay, but no changes made to the defensive side of the ball, even though the Gamecocks finished 70th in the country in total defense. Do you think somebody from the defensive side should have gone, Cale?
No. I mean, because, I mean, our offense was the worst part. Our offense is what our defense, the defensive side of the ball is not, it's not that bad at South Carolina. The offensive side of the ball is what's hot garbage. I mean, these guys can't do their job because they can't stay off the field. They are tired. These kids are worn out. I mean, they're staying on the field 42, 43 minutes a game. I mean, that's why they're so worn down. I don't think it's that. I don't think that – get out. I don't think T. Rob is that bad of a coach. Well, I don't think that John Scott's that bad of a coach. I don't think any of these guys are that bad of a coach. It's the offensive side of the ball and the head coach a part that needs reworking. But, I mean, they're not going to do anything with him. I mean, I'm just – here's my thing, dude. You know me. I'm Spurs up till my toes are up. I'm always going to pull for this team. I mean, I can't stop. It's in my DNA. But I really wish they would have made a change. But, I mean, four or five teams have made a change already today. So,
yeah.
You know, if we're not making a change today, I don't think we're making a change as far as the head coach position goes. So, you know, I have to live with that. I have to pull for this team under Coach Muschamp because, I mean, that's all I've got. I mean, I'm not going to pull for anybody else. I mean, it sucks, but I have to suck it up and just, you know, accept things for what they are and, you know, hope for the best and, you know, cross my fingers and hope that somebody can pull some kind of sunshine out of their ass because
there is no sunshine right now.
No changes are going to take place in the position that I want them to take place in, and at least not this year. And I just have to accept that and be a big boy.
Yeah. Well, the game was kind of shitty. I mean,
the game was terrible.
Good stuff there from Cale Hall. Cale's going to be joining us throughout whenever he gets a chance as a feature here on the Robin Comrade Show. Follow Cale on Twitter. He is at Carolina Jackpot. The Comrade is at the Pesky Pole. Make sure you get into our lovely bowl competition. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. As people are texting me about it right now. Silence, iPhone, silence. All right, there you go. More of the Robin Comrade Show on Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to the Robin Comrade Podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.